Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called: the Lord, our righteousness. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.
What a wonderful God we serve. He's a mighty God, a merciful God, and I know he's done many, many things for us. Perhaps many things we take for granted, but he is a God who is working for us and helping us all the time. Today I want to answer a very basic question. A very simple question, and yet one that perhaps can evoke many complicated answers. And the question I want to ask today is very simply, what is God like? What is God like? Now, as you are aware, there are many different theories about God and who God is. There are many people who believe that there isn't a God, and so the question becomes redundant. Many people believe that we are born into this world and then we die, and we simply have to make the most of it because there is nothing else, and that we evolved from very simple creatures to where we are now, and we're continually evolving. Life just carries on, but there is nothing else beyond. There is no God. That is a belief of many people in our society today. On the other hand, there are others who believe that there are many gods. That there's the God of the sky, the God of the sun, the God of the moon, the God of the trees, and so on and so on. Many, many different gods that we should worship. Then there are others who believe that there is a God, and that he created this world, but that in creating this world he has now stepped back. He is far away, and he is now unconcerned with what goes on this planet. He is miles away, like some absentee landlord. And many explain that's why there is suffering, that's why there is war, crime, disease, because God is far away and unable and not even willing to help us in our present plight. What is God like? What is the truth about God? Well, my friends, I'm not ashamed to say to you today that I have a very simple faith. And I've discovered in my own life that if I want to find out the truth about God and what God is like, there is only one place to go. And that is in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Because my belief says this, that God has allowed men to write this book. But words that were inspired by him that have been handed down throughout the ages until now we come into the 21st century, and this book is still with us, giving us the truth about God and what God is like. But I've met people who believe in the Bible, but they declare that there are two gods. And they say they see two gods because there's a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. And they say that when I read the Old Testament, I see a God of wrath. I see a God of anger. I see a God of justice. And yet when I read the New Testament, I see a merciful God, a kind God, a benevolent God. And they say there are two gods, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. But I would like to declare to us today that I believe there is only one God, and that the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. And that He is working for our benefit. He is working to help us. He is working to save us. You know, a few years ago, I did some research. And in this research, I simply wanted to find out, what is God like? And so I went to the Bible. I opened no other book. I went nowhere else. I simply opened the Bible to find out, what is God like? And I was amazed at what I found. And I want to share some of these things with you today, because I know that when I found this out, it helped me in my Christian experience. It helped me in a tremendous way, and I hope that some of what I share will help us. Now, I should say this. If I was to share everything I found out, we'll be here till midnight. But don't worry, I'll cut it short in righteousness. What do we find out about God? And I'm going to confine most of my research today to the Old Testament. There is much in the New Testament, but I'm confining much of what we're going to learn today from the Old Testament. So what do we find out about God? The first thing is found in our scripture text for today, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Here we see a situation where God's people are in captivity. The Babylonians have destroyed Jerusalem, and Israelites have been taken into captivity. But God holds out hope, because He says to the Israelites, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." So the first thing we find out about God today is that He is our righteousness. In the Hebrew tongue, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. Now that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But what does it mean? In order for us to answer that question, we need to go to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Here we find out what it means, Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says there to the Ephesian believers, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Paul is saying there that it is by grace we have been saved through faith. In other words, there is nothing we can do to earn salvation. We do not serve a God who is wanting to give us points for all the good deeds that we do. We serve a God who already has lived a righteous life through His Son Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. And when we gaze at the cross, when we go to Christ for forgiveness, His righteous life becomes our righteous life. And He looks at us as though we've never sinned. Our sins are washed away. And as we continue to go to Him, He will forgive us. And He will help us to become like Him. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. He didn't deserve to die, but He died in our place. We're the ones who deserve to die. But in exchange for our belief and faith in Him, He gives us His righteousness. Praise God for that. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. But I find something else out about God, my friends, in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8. Now I know for many of us, Leviticus is not an easy book to read. There are so many rules and regulations and stipulations. Sometimes you're tempted to skip the book of Leviticus and go to the next one. But my friends, when we read the difficult passages, we come across gems about God. We come across things about God that we'd never see. Otherwise, some people confine themselves to the easy parts of the Bible, the Psalms, the Gospels, but we are rewarded when we study the harder parts. Look at Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8. Because in the midst of all the rules and regulations, there is a gem about God. Don't forget, we're trying to answer that question: what is God like? And here God is addressing his people again in verse 8. And he says, "You shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Yehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies his people. And that sounds a beautiful word as well, doesn't it? But what does it mean? The Lord who sanctifies his people. To sanctify simply means to set apart for holy use. In other words, not only is God our righteousness, but he also helps us to become better people. He doesn't simply forgive us, but he helps us and works within us to become more like him. Yehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies his people. And I'm sure there's many of us here that can testify that you have become a better person, not through your own efforts, but somehow through God's power working through you, helping you to overcome traits that were not very good, that weren't very nice. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, I remember that I was struggling with what's called a short fuse. Do you know what a short fuse is? Another word for short fuse, or two words, is a bad temper. And little things that would irritate me would set me off. One of the worst things was being in a traffic jam. And I'm sure that if other drivers were looking in, they could see steam coming out of my ears. I hated traffic jam. It made me so angry. But I realized as a new Christian that this was not good. This is not the way that Jesus would react in this situation. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, take away this short fuse. Take away my bad temper." But you know, my friends, I was praying that for 5-6 years. And nothing seemed to be happening. But then as time went by, I realized that those things that used to make me angry no longer made me angry. Somehow, something was happening inside. Praise God, my prayer was being answered. God was taking away the anger, the short fuse, the bad temper that was inside me. Gradually working, sanctification. So now, my friends, when I get in my car and I'm in a traffic jam, I simply put on a CD, I simply turn the radio on, and I'm as happy as anything. Well, most of the time anyway. Remember, sanctification is the work of a lifetime, and God is still working upon me. And I know, my friends, that when you look at your own experience in life, there are things you are still struggling with. Even if you've been a long-term Christian, there are things inside that are still there. But my friends, remember the promise. Yehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies his people. He is helping us to overcome. Yes, it's not as quick as we would like, perhaps, sometimes. But God is nevertheless working. As long as we stay close to him, he will help us to become better people. Yehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies his people. But there is more. Remember, we're trying to answer that question. What is God like? Now turn to Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 24. Now Judges is one of those books that are full of violence. You know, people are amazed that in the Bible how much violence there is, and I'm sure if a film was to be made of this book, it would be 18 rated. There is so much violence in this book. Battles, warfare, the time of the judges, a turbulent time in the time of Israelite history. But my friends, again, in the midst of all this turmoil, there's an amazing truth about God that I want us to see. Judges 6, verse 24. Gideon was a great warrior for God. He'd won many battles for God. And at one time, he built an altar in memory of what God had done. Judges 6, verse 24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." Yehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Can you believe that? In this book of warfare and turmoil, the truth shines out. Yehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Do you believe that we can have peace today, despite the turmoil, despite disease, heartache, war, crime on every hand? Do you believe that we can have peace when even in our own personal lives, things are crumbling, things are falling apart, whether financial, whether family problems, whether employment problems? Do you believe that we can have peace? You know, Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. I do not give peace as the world gives peace, but my peace I give to you." When the world talks about peace, it talks about cessation of war, the elimination of all problems and difficulties. But when God talks peace, he says, "Even though you may have difficulties and problems, I am there with you to give you peace." Amen. And so, my friends, we serve a God who can give us peace, even in the most trying of situations, even in the most difficult of situations. We serve a God who can give us peace. Yehovah Shalom. Amen. This came home to me many years ago when I was working in Southwest London. And you can tell this was a long while ago because I wasn't even working as a pastor. In fact, I wasn't even studying to be a pastor. This was before that. And I was working in an office in Southwest London, a place called Victoria. And I remember, in order to save money, because I lived in a place called East Ham, which is in East London, in order to save money, I bought myself a bike. And I used to cycle from East Ham to Victoria and back every day, 10 miles there, 10 miles back. I was very fit in those days. And my bicycle was my pride and joy. Every week, I cleaned it, maintained it, made sure it was in good working order. And what I would do, I would cycle to work and I would chain up my bike. In fact, I bought three large chains. One to chain the back wheel, one to chain the front wheel, and one to chain the crossbar. And I would often step back after I chained it to the railings opposite my office, and I would say, "No one will ever be able to steal that bike. No one." And I would go up to my office, and my office was on the fifth floor, and I would go up, and what I would do every half an hour, I would look outside the window to see if it was still there. And sure enough, every single time that I looked, the bike was always there. In fact, a year passed, and it was always there. Then I remember one day came. And I remember it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and as I usually did, I went to the window to look. And as I looked out of the window, guess what? The bike was gone. And I was shocked till I came running down the stairs. Didn't even take the lift. I just ran down the stairs, went outside to where the bike was, and I stood there, and all I saw were three large chains sawn through. And I can remember feelings of anger begin welling up and panic welling up inside of me. But then something very strange happened. It was like a wave of peace came over me as I stood there. And although I heard no audible voice, a strong impression came upon me. It's only a bike. You still have me. And I was filled with peace, my friends. We serve a God, Jehovah Shalom, who can give us peace even in the most difficult of times. Yes. Amen. Jehovah Shalom. Have you experienced that peace?
Oh, yes.
Have you realized that peace? It is ours, my friend, because that's what God is like. He wants to give us peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's the promise. And so, my friends, if your mind is full of turmoil, you're worrying about what's happening or what's going to happen in the future, focus on God, because Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, He will give us peace. What else do we find out about God? We're trying to find out what is God like today. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 48. Again, sometimes we struggle with the book of Ezekiel, especially the latter chapters, when it talks about the rebuilding of the New Jerusalem and the New Temple. So many measurements, and we're tempted to skip this. But don't skip it, because there's a gem about God. In fact, right at the end, even talking about the New Jerusalem and the New Temple, there's a gem about God. Notice this, Ezekiel 48, verse 35. It says there, it says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be, The Lord is there. Or the Lord is here. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. What a wonderful truth about God that is. Because that's what that's trying to tell us is we serve a God who is everywhere. And it doesn't matter where we go. Whether we live in India, in Africa, in Europe, even the North Pole, if we happen to be there, God is there.
Yeah.
Jehovah Shammah. You know, there are many people today who suffer from homesickness. Because we live in a world that is very mobile. You go back 100 years and everyone was in their own country, their own place, because the opportunity for travel was not there. But today, people are everywhere. But what it means is there is a greater increase in homesickness. Because many people have left their own families, their brothers, their sisters, their parents, in some cases even their husband or wives. And inside their hearts ache because they long to be back home. My friends, we serve a God who can take away homesickness. Because wherever we are, He is there. It doesn't matter where we live, doesn't matter where we are. God is there. Jehovah Shammah. And my friends, when we think about it, our real home anyway is in heaven. That's where our real home is. We are just pilgrims passing through. And so we may call some place home upon this earth, but it is temporary. It is passing away. Our true home is in heaven. And my friends, a day is coming where not only will God be there, but we will see Him face to face. We'll be able to talk with Him, converse with Him, engage with Him. And so, although the promise is held out that he is here with us even now, one day that will be a tremendous reality. And we will see him face to face. What a God we serve. What is God like? He is wonderful. What else can we find out? Look at Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And we're going to zero in on chapter 53. Now, chapter 53 of Isaiah has often been called the Gospel of the Old Testament. And it's called the Gospel of the Old Testament, quite rightly, because it's talking about Jesus, the suffering servant who is to come, the one who is to provide salvation. I could preach a sermon on simply Isaiah 53. But today we're going to confine ourselves to verse 5. Finding out truth, remember, about God. What is God like? And it says there that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals his people. Many people ask the question, is God still in the healing business today? And they see all the wonderful miracles that Jesus did, even in the book of Acts, how people were restored. Physically they were broken, but Jesus restores his people. And many people ask, is God still in the healing business today? And I want to say very clearly and very loudly today, Jesus Christ is still in the healing business today. And he heals his people. He raises them up from the sick bed. Hey, but hang on a minute, Pastor. What about my sister, who is a Christian, who is suffering from cancer? And we went to visit her and we prayed with her, and she was praying for herself day after day, but she still passed away. And what about my father, Pastor, who was only 52, who died from a brain tumor? He was a Christian. We were praying for him. In fact, we anointed him as the Bible directed. But he wasn't cured. How can you say that God is still in the healing business today when that happens? My friends, we have to realize that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And sometimes, for reasons we do not know, God does not heal in the way that we would expect. But I want to still say clearly today that God is still in the healing business. Why? Because spiritual healing is 100% certain. And when Jesus died on that cross, he died that we may be healed. Mentally and spiritually. Sometimes we may have to suffer physically, that is true. But my friends, God is more concerned for our eternal welfare than what happens on this earth. Yes, he is concerned about us on this earth, but sometimes it's better for us to suffer on this earth and not to lose out on eternity. God is still in the healing business. Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals his people. Well, my friends, I get so excited when I read the Bible, even though I've seen it over and over again, and realize what God is like. Look at something else. Genesis, going back to the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. And looking at verse 14. We know this story well, don't we? The story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And how Abraham had been given that strange command to sacrifice his one and only son. And we remember how Abraham and Isaac were walking up that hill, walking up that mountain. And Isaac turns to his father and said, "Where is the sacrifice?" And in verse 14, Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Jehovah Yireh. And we remember how Isaac was laid out on that stone slab, and Abraham was about to slay his son. The knife was coming down, but he was told to stop. And when he stopped, he looked in the bush, and over in the bush there was a lamb. That was a sacrifice. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Yes, it was only an animal, but it pointed to the Messiah to come. And Abraham realized the promise of God. And he cries out, "Jehovah Yireh, the God who provides for his people." Do you believe that God still provides for his people today? Or is he far away? Is he absent? God provides for his people, I am certain. Jehovah Yireh. The greatest provision was on the cross when Jesus died. The gift of God's only Son, that whoever should believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a provision that was. But do you also believe that God can provide for us in the small things of life? Or are we sometimes tempted to think, well, God is too busy for that. I cannot pray about that. He is too busy. Again, a few years ago, when I was at New Bold College, I remember I was one summer working for the maintenance department to earn my school fees. And one of the tasks we had was to dig a trench about 20 feet and 3 feet down. The plan was to lay an electric cable. And I remember it was July and it was hot. And a few of us were digging this trench. And it was so hot. And after about 3 or 4 hours, I checked in my jacket pocket to make sure that there were things there that I wanted, namely my car keys. Because in 2 days' time, I had a very important engagement to travel. And I needed those car keys. And I didn't have a spare set. And I looked in my pocket, and they weren't there. And I wondered what has happened. So I got out of the trench and I began to look around, trace my footsteps that day. But I couldn't find those keys. Have any of you ever lost keys before? You know how irritating it can be. And I remember that evening I came back to my flat and I said to my wife, I said, "Look, I'm in trouble. I've lost these keys. I need them because I've got this important appointment. What shall I do?" And my wife, being a very wise woman, I said, "Why don't we pray?" I said, "Okay, let's pray." And I remember praying. I said, "Lord, help me to find these keys." And I said, "Lord, you know I need them, but I have no time to find them. I'm busy tomorrow. Please enable someone else to find them for me. And number two, because I don't want to be anxious for the whole day, please find them before midday tomorrow." Wow, pretty tall order, wasn't it? Well, the next day came, it was a Friday, and I was busy in the trench again, digging this trench, and I was looking at my watch, and it 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, 11:30, 11:45, 11:55. As I continued to dig, there was a young boy, probably only about 6 or 7 years of age, came running. And he said, I found these keys. Do they belong to anybody here?" And I looked at them and I said, "Praise God. Amen. They're my keys. Jehovah Yireh." God helps us out even with the small things, my friends. Don't ever be afraid to ask him. He is our Heavenly Father and he wants to help us. But having said that, sometimes he doesn't answer the way that we would like. But we can still have peace because God is working something out, my friends. There may be some of us here today who've received that electricity bill. Maybe that gas bill. Maybe that telephone bill. Maybe the mortgage is hard. But my friends, remember, Jehovah Yireh. If you put him first, he will put you first. In 1 Samuel 2:30 it says, those that honour me, I will also honour. My friends, if we want God to help us, then we need to honour him. Put him first in our lives, and he will provide wonderfully for us.
Amen.
Jehovah Yireh, the God who provides for his people. Wow, there's a lot more I could share today, but I'm going to cut this short. Let's now turn to Exodus, Exodus 17. Exodus 17 and verse 15, we see a situation here, just like we saw with Gideon, where Moses this time is building an altar to the Lord. And it says there very simply that Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Quite often we see people marching, do we not? Especially in London, going up to Westminster for a certain cause. And what we will find is that march, the people up front usually have a big banner. And this banner mentions the name of their cause. And they're marching. My friends, Jesus is marching before us. In fact, he has gone the way before us. If we think our time on this earth is difficult, it is hard, then remember Jesus. Remember what he had to put up with. Even as a young child, growing, and then as a young man, then as an adult. How people by and large turned their backs on him. And in fact, in the end, they even killed him. Jehovah Nissi, the God who has gone before us. He is our banner. But praise God, my friends. Jesus was hung on that cross. But on the third day, he rose again into newness of life. And he lives ever to make intercession for his people. And so, my friends, if we follow in his footsteps, if we follow the banner of Jesus Christ, we may have difficulties here. We might even die. But one day we will rise again into newness of life. Because he has gone that way before. And he has assured us of victory in Christ. My friends, Jehovah Nissi, the God who is my banner. Oh, my friends, what a God we serve. What is God like? I'm going to share one more thing about God today. Much more I could share. And I encourage you to study your Bible and just try and answer that question. What is God like? Who is the God that we serve? But one final thing I want to share with you. We go to a very famous psalm. A psalm that we have read since we were children, I'm sure. A psalm that perhaps we can recite by heart. You know the psalm I'm talking about, don't you? Psalm 23. Again, a whole sermon could be preached on Psalm 23. But I'm going to confine to the first five words. Because in Psalm 23, it simply says, right at the beginning, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. My friends, we serve a God who does not leave us in the dark. We serve a God who opens ways, who opens doors. But my friends, we have to be listening. There's another psalm, Psalm 46 verse 10, that says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, sometimes I hear people say, "I wish God would speak to us today like he did to Abraham, like he did to Moses, where they heard him with an audible voice. I wish God would come to me and tell me what it is I need to do." But I want to tell us, my friends, that God is still speaking to us today. And if we're not hearing God's voice, it's because we're not listening. It's because we're not still in the mind and giving God that time to communicate, to guide us and to lead us. You know, in life, we can make bad choices. And I know in my life, I've made bad choices. And I know we all have made bad choices. But did you know we can make good choices, but they are not necessarily God's choices? So the choice may be a good one. It may be setting us on a path that will lead to prosperity, a path that will lead to happiness, but it's not God's choice. As we close today, I've got a story to tell you, but I hesitate to tell you this story. And the reason why I hesitate is because it's a very personal story, and I don't want you to think any less of me than you do already. So I'm going to give a choice here, and the choice is very simple. As I end this sermon today, I can end this sermon right now, or I could tell this story and end it then. What shall I do, friends? I tell you what, I want to do a deal with you. I know it's the Sabbath, we shouldn't do deals on the Sabbath, but my deal is this. If I tell you this story, can you promise me that you will keep it a secret? Can you promise me that? If you can't promise that, I can't tell you the story. Because I want this to be a secret between Cambridge and myself. And if there's any visitors here as well, you need to keep it secret as well. Have we got a deal? Can we do that?
Yes.
Praise God. I will tell the story. This story concerns the time when I first became a Christian, 30 years ago now. And I remember that I was very zealous. When I heard this message, the Adventist message, I was so excited. I just wanted to do everything for God. It was so amazing. And I actually made a vow to God. And I said to God, God, I want to serve you and serve you alone. I want no distractions. And my vow is this, God, I am not going to get married. That is my vow. And I tell you what, when I made that vow, I felt so holy and pious. Wow, that's a good vow to make. Wow, no one's going to make a vow like that. And I felt so holy and so pious and so righteous. Well, at that time, I was in a church that had many young people. And I was young myself at that time, believe it or not. And every Friday, we would have a discussion, like a Bible discussion in someone's home. And we would meet there week after week. We'd sing songs together. We'd pray together. It was a wonderful time. And I made many good friends. Some of these people are still friends today. In fact, one of them is the president, Pastor Sam Davis. He was part of that group at that time. And I remember, as days went by, I was really enjoying the fellowship. But I remember, as time went by, that there was a particular young lady in the group I began to like. And I remember saying, Lord, remember my vow. Well, a time came when I preached my first ever sermon. After I'd been in the church for about a year. And I remember that as I was preaching, I saw this young lady in the third row. And as I was preaching, she was looking at me, and I could tell by the way she was looking that she liked me too. You know that look, don't you? And I was almost put off my sermon. But I carried on somehow, but in my mind I said, Lord, remember my vow. A few more weeks passed. And at this time I've been persuaded and through prayer to study for the ministry and go to college. But I decided that I wasn't going to Newbolt College, I was going to the West Indies College in Jamaica. The reason why? Because it was a new culture and I wanted to learn a new culture. And number two, it was cheaper. And so, that was a real reason, wasn't it? I'd made up my mind, and I remember one Sabbath I announced it in church and asking people to pray for me as I made plans to go to West Indies College. Well, I remember that time at the end of the service, I came out of the church and there was that young lady. And she looked very worried. She looked very unhappy. And I said, what's wrong? She said, why are you going to Newbold College? To West Indies College? Newbold College is much nearer. Why are you going so far away? And I realized then she didn't want me to leave. And I said, Lord, remember my vow. Well, time went on. And I was praying and then talking to God, and I began to realize that the vow I had made was a rash one. It was a very good vow, a very pious vow, but I began to realize, hang on, the Lord is not leading this way. He's leading a different way. And I realized he was leading me to this young lady because she was to be the one who'd be by my side throughout my ministry. And to cut a long story short today, I remember the time came when I plucked up the courage and I spoke to her. And I said, look, I said, the fact is, I like you. My heart was going boom, 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 boom. And then she didn't answer. There was complete silence. And after a while, she said, do you expect me to reply? And I said, yes, it's like a game of tennis. I've served, now you need to reply. And she looked at me and she said, the fact is, I like you too. And my friend, the rest is history. We've been married 28 years, two wonderful daughters, and she's been by my side throughout my ministry, and I know that was the way that God was guiding. Yehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes we make choices, they may be good ones, but God's ways are the best ways. His ways are the only ways to go because he is my guide. What is God like? That's what we've tried to answer today, and we've only answered it incompletely because there is so much more to find out. But today, what have we found out? We've found out today that God is our righteousness. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one who is our peace. He is there. He is the God who heals his people. He is the God who provides for his people. He is my banner, and he is my shepherd. And I don't know about you, but when I find out that about God, all I want to do is to praise him, to worship him, and to follow him for the rest of my life. My friends, I hold out to you our wonderful God. Let us serve him. Let us walk with him until he comes and takes us into eternity. Is my prayer for all of us today. Amen.